To be back with you this evening and to think about what I think is a really important and relevant subject for all of us. So let's begin by turning to God's Word. We're in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, reading from verse 25, is Jesus speaking, of course, and he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And I'm sure God will bless his word as we consider it this evening. I felt there was a slight irony, and I'm sure it was not intended by those who assigned me the subject. I felt there was a slight irony in me being given this subject this evening, because a large part of my job is to tell people that if they don't save now, then in many years' time, they won't be very well off, that they should be worrying about their retirement. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. I'm saying, worry about 40 years' time. Now, I don't think the two are actually incompatible, and I'll hopefully explain why in a little while. But I think it's the kind of passage, and this is the first time obviously I've thought about it, the kind of passage that does make you take a step back and think, in my life, what are the things that are inconsistent with what the Lord is saying, or potentially inconsistent with what he's saying? Now, the immediate context of this passage is about money. If you read the preceding verses, it's where the Lord is telling us to build up treasure in heaven and not treasure on earth and so on. And in the immediate context, he is thinking especially about money and our attitude towards material things. But I think Adrian was right as he extended it this evening, because particularly in the last verse where the Lord tells us not to worry about tomorrow, that is clearly talking about more than just money. And all of us have concerns and worries about other things in life. We do worry about family, about children, about parents, about our spouses or other family members. We worry about our health. Some of us are probably not as good as others at managing when we're not very well. We think, oh, it's the end of the world if I'm not well. I'm really worried about what's going to happen. We do worry to some extent certainly about our health and the future from that point of view. We worry perhaps about our work, about job security and where we're going in that. We worry about our relationships with other people. The people perhaps that are more difficult relationships, worry if we're going to meet them in the next few days. What are we going to say to them? How are things going to go? Lots of things that worry us, that concern us every day. And I think we could say it is human nature to worry. But Jesus is saying to us, actually, because you have a heavenly Father who loves you and who cares for you and has your interests at heart, then to worry in the way that many people do is actually incompatible with the faith that we profess. If we really trust in God for the future, then that, to some extent at least, should mean that we don't have the worries and concerns that others in the world do. And I think that's a real challenge for probably all of us this evening. Before we get into the passage, I just want to say two things that I don't think the Lord is saying to us here. The first thing, in our society, there are a lot of people who suffer from stress-related illnesses. It's a symptom of modern living, a disease of the modern world, if you like, that there are people who unfortunately suffer from mental illness, whether it's anxiety or depression or whatever. And I don't think the Lord in this passage is in any kind of glib way saying, well, just trust in God and it will be okay. Now, we had in our family someone who did suffer from depression, and a number of Christians, I think, trying to be helpful, but actually not very helpful. We're saying things, well, just pray about it, or just trust God, and everything will be fine. Illnesses need treatment, mental illness in the same way as physical illness need treatment by the appropriate medical people. And if you're in this situation, even I hope that what we have to say and what this study teaches us will be helpful. But don't feel in any way that you're being got at through what's being said here. The second thing I'd like to say is that I don't believe this passage is a license to laziness. So the Lord says, look, the lilies of the field, they don't do anything and they look beautiful. The birds don't plan ahead and they get food. But he's not saying to us that we shouldn't work or that we shouldn't plan ahead. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, addressed a number of people there who were expecting for the Lord's return, thought the Lord was going to come back soon, and said, well, in that case, there's no point us working. We'll just sit back and wait for the Lord's return. And Paul says, well, if you're not prepared to work, then you shouldn't eat either. God placed us on this earth to work, to be industrious, and the Lord certainly isn't teaching that we shouldn't do the normal day-to-day work that puts the bread on our table and the clothes on our body. He's also, I believe, not saying that we shouldn't plan ahead. If you as a church went to one of your church business meetings and the elders said, we've decided we're going to not plan ahead into the future, every Sunday come along, we'll hope that someone will be there to speak, we won't have any planned subjects, and we'll just let things go as the Lord leads, you probably wouldn't be very impressed. A certain amount of planning is important, and equally in our personal lives. The Lord Jesus tells the story of the man who's going out to build a tower. And he says before he does that, he needs to count the cost and make sure he doesn't run out of money halfway through. Now, you don't have to go very far from this building to find what happens when people don't count the cost and run out of money halfway through. And the Lord is definitely saying, in that case, they should have planned ahead. In the Proverbs, it talks about the ant and the sluggard, and the ant busy storing things up for the winter and set an example to those who haven't planned ahead, to those who are lazy. So the Lord, I think, definitely isn't saying we shouldn't work and also isn't saying that it's wrong to plan ahead, to prepare for the future, and I guess from where I started, for people to prepare for their old age so they're not too much of a burden on the next generation, for example. So with these two caveats, let's move on and let's have a think about the past. Now, as I said, the immediate context is the Lord talking about money. And I think there are probably two slightly different audiences he's aiming at between verses 18 to 24, when he specifically talks about money, and these verses here. Among the people who are listening to the Lord Jesus, there were probably some who were pretty well off. In the terms of their day, they had material possessions, and the temptation for them was to hoard and to build them up and to place great reliance on them. And that is the people particularly the Lord, I think, is addressing in the earlier verses, the ones we didn't read. In these verses, I think his focus is more on the mass of people before him as he was preaching, who really would at that time live from day to day. For many of them, what would happen is they would go along each morning to a farm or to a businessman somewhere to see if there was any work, and if they managed to get work, then they would get a wage that would see them through that day. It was really the original 0 hours contract. They had no guarantee of what was coming in. They just had to day-to-day make sure they could survive. And the Lord is very much saying to these people, be very easy for you to be really worried about your future, about what you're going to eat tomorrow. Just put it in God's hand and trust your heavenly Father. Now, most of us, I suspect, all of us, don't have that same kind of worry in our life. We don't have to worry too much about what we're going to eat tomorrow, about or whether we'll have clothes to wear. But many people do worry about their finances, worry about their mortgage or their rent, worry about their car or the gadgets they want. And worry about finance can be quite a big thing in our day, often going beyond what we need into the things that we want. And similarly, the Lord would be saying to us, don't get caught up in these things. These aren't the things that really matter. Trust in God to provide. And he says, I think in these verses, three key things. The first thing he says is that worry is sightless. So this is, sightless is a slightly clumsy word, but you'll see why I've said sightless rather than blind as we go through the other points. When we worry, we lose sight of what God wants us to see. And the Lord Jesus says three things, and he uses in each case the word more. So he's arguing from, if you like, the lesser to the greater. Here is something that you can look at and say, yes, that's fact, and here is something that is more than that, and if you accept the first thing, then you really must accept the second as well. So the first thing he says is that life is more important than food and clothing. God has given us life. Isn't it wonderful that we are so fearfully and wonderfully made by God, that he has built us as humans to be able to live, to breathe, to enjoy the world around us, to enjoy our Heavenly Father? God has given us this wonderful gift of life. And the Lord Jesus says, if we know that God has given us that lift of life, that great thing, can we not be confident that he will provide for what we need to maintain that life and to be able to keep going? Life is more than food. The body is more than clothes. Is the great creator of heaven and earth, our Heavenly Father, who has a desire to have a personal, intimate relation with each of us, is he not going to provide for us the basics of life? The Lord Jesus says, don't worry about these things, because your Heavenly Father has shown how important we are by the way he has made us, and therefore he will provide the basics that we need. And then he says, your life is also more important than the birds. Look around you, said Jesus, and you can see the birds. And he probably was in a position where physically people could look around and see the birds hopping from tree to tree. He says, look at these birds. They don't spend their time sowing and reaping and all the rest of it. They just go around and God provides them with food and they are able to live their lives. Now, how do you compare with the birds? Jesus says you are much more important to God, much more valuable than the birds in the air. You are people who have been made in the image of God. Mankind has been sent to subdue and to dominate the earth and to care for the earth as a whole. And God sent his only Son to be the saviour of mankind, to be saviour of individuals, but to be the saviour of the human race, of all who were put their trust in him. Is that not evidence that we are more important to God than the birds in the air? And yet God cares about the birds in the air. How much more does he care for us? And how much more will he give us what we need? Skipping over to verse 27, but we'll come back to it. But the third more here is the Lord Jesus says, your life is more important than the flowers of the field. Now again, the Lord was probably pointing round about him, and the people could see the beauty of creation in the fields that were round about. And they could think when he said, these are more beautiful than Solomon in all his splendor, they could look at them and say, yes, that is true. What we see here that God has created is more beautiful than all the finery that men may have created. Yes, says the Lord Jesus, the flowers don't worry. The flowers don't have to do anything. God, in his greatness, in his goodness, he makes them beautiful for our pleasure to a large extent. God clothed the flowers of the field, he clothed the grass, and these things, what is their value? Well, even less than the birds, because they're here today, tomorrow they're a bit withered, and you pick them up, and you throw them in the kiln, and you use them to help with your cooking. These are things that are very temporary, very ephemeral things, and yet God makes them beautiful. And if you are so much more important than these things to God, will he not provide what you need as well? So three things that God says, Lord Jesus says, your life's more important than food and clothing. Your life is more important than the bird. Your life is more important than the flowers. Therefore, these things that can trust God, how much more can you trust God to provide what you need in life? And if we worry unduly, if we are too concerned about the material things and what we can build up and where they will come from, we're losing sight of what really matters. We're losing sight of what God wants us to see, which is the beauty that he has made in creation and his concern for us, which is so much greater than his concern for the rest of creation. Worry is sightless. Now let's go back to verse 27, because I think that's very important. I've called this one, worry is pointless. The Lord Jesus says, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Now actually, the original words in this passage are slightly difficult to understand. There are two interpretations, depending which version of your Bible you've got, you may get one or the other. In some ways, the natural translation of what the Lord actually says is, can any of you by worrying add a cubit to your height? Now, a cubit is the length of your arm from there to there, roughly. In most people, around 18 inches, half a meter. And the Lord is saying, if you worry about your height, can you make it any greater? Well, that might be the translation, but I think probably the NIV has got it right. It is a possible translation of the verse, and it makes more sense in terms of what we might worry about. The Lord Jesus, I think, is saying, can any of you by worrying add to the length of your life? Well, the answer is no, and the answer actually is if we worry, we may well shorten our life. Because if we worry too much, we get ulcers and all sorts of things, heart conditions potentially arising from that, and it certainly doesn't help us. Worry from that point of view is pointless. It doesn't do us any good. It takes away some of the joy that we might have in life. It makes our life in many ways a bit of a burden at times. It doesn't actually help to worry. Now, if our worry prompts us to do something, that might be helpful, but worrying by itself doesn't do any good. It just eats away at us. It takes away the pleasures that our Heavenly Father wants us to enjoy, and it doesn't really help us at all. So the Lord says, from that point of view, worry is pointless. You can't add an hour to your life or 18 inches to your height, whichever it is, just by worrying. There's no point to it. And then the third thing he says, worry is sightless, worry is pointless, worry is faithless. And this then comes to the core of what the Lord Jesus is teaching us. He's building up to verse 33, which is the verse, obviously, that we're all familiar with, that talks about what should be first in our lives. But he starts with verses 31 and 32. And he says, look around you at the people who don't have God. Look around you at the people who are just living for this life. And they run around trying to get more possessions, trying to make sure they've got physical security in life, trying to make sure they'll be okay for the next months or years or whatever, because they've got nothing else. That's all they can look forward to. They don't know their Heavenly Father. They don't know they have an eternal future. And so they run around trying to gain the things of this world. And if we are to be distinctive in our Christian faith, if we are to stand out from those round about us, we must have, says Jesus, a different attitude. We can't afford to be like those who are only living for this life. And it applies to material things, it applies to other things as well. If we know the Lord, if our trust is in God, people should be able to look at us and say, they're different. They are not just motivated by trying to get as much money as they can, trying to get that next promotion at work, trying to get the better car or the new gadgets, trying to keep up with the Joneses. That is not what matters to them. Sadly, it sometimes seems it is what matters to us as Christians. But that is not what we should be like. If we are concerned about the things of this world, then we are no better than those who don't know God, no better, says the Lord, than the pagans or the Gentiles, would be what the original says. They run after all these things because they don't know they've got a loving Heavenly Father. We don't need to run after these things because we know we've got a Heavenly Father who loves us, and we know that He knows what we need and is able to provide our needs. So our priorities should be different from unbelievers. And what then is our priority? Verse 33. Our priority is to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and says Jesus, all these things will be given to you as well. This is a real challenge to our perspectives on life. What is my priority in life? Is it the same as the priority as those round about me, or is my priority God's kingdom and His righteousness? In other words, is my priority to promote God's kingdom in this world, to live as someone who is obedient to my King and to seeks to do His will, and to seeks to bring others too into His kingdom as I talk about my Heavenly Father and about my Lord who died for me? And is my life characterized by righteousness? Now, this is not in the same sense that Paul would talk about our righteousness, which is largely coming from our entirely coming from our relationship with the Lord Jesus and His righteousness. This is the good deeds, the righteous deeds that we do, which the Lord has talked about earlier in the passage. Is my desire to do what's right, to follow the way that the Lord Jesus followed on this earth, to live for Him and to serve Him in everything I do? Are my eyes set on things above, or on the things that really matter, or on the things that have eternal value? Or are my eyes set on the things of this world? The more our eyes are fixed on the eternal things, the more our thoughts are focused on the Lord Jesus and the things of our faith, the less we will be troubled by worries and anxieties. When we get into the point of worrying too much about earthly things, the root of the problem is that we're not spending enough time thinking about heavenly things, that we're not fixing our thoughts on the Lord Jesus, that we're not fixing our minds on the things that really matter. Worry, says the Lord Jesus, is faithless. It displays an absence of faith, not a complete absence, obviously, because we trust the Lord Jesus, but little faith, as he says to his disciples here. And then in verse 34, Jesus sums it up. And I quite like this quotation from Warren Wiersbe. He says, most Christians are being crucified on a cross between two thieves, yesterday's regret and tomorrow's worries. How true that can be for us. We look back and we think, if only I'd done this or I'd done that, and I wish things had turned out differently. And we look forward and we think, well, what's going to happen tomorrow? How am I going to cope with things? Is my life going to become much more difficult? And the Lord Jesus says, what we should really do is focus our thoughts on the task for today. God will give us strength for each day, whatever the trials we face, whatever the difficulties we encounter, God will give us strength for that day. And if we're using some of that strength to worry about yesterday or about tomorrow, then we're not effectively living in the way God would want us to today. Now, as I say, that doesn't mean we shouldn't look back and learn lessons from the past. Doesn't mean we should plan ahead for the. Shouldn't plan ahead for the future in a prudent kind of way. But if we let these things preoccupy us and get us down and cause us to be full of regrets and worries, then we won't be able to live effectively for Christ today. We won't be able to serve him in the way we should. A couple of things as I finish to take away, a couple of maybe practical things to think about. One of them, I think, is I've called a daily discipline. And this daily discipline I'm suggesting, sorry about the name was nagging, tried too much getting alliteration in, but this is to think each day, what are the things that I am worrying about? Is it things from yesterday that I've done now and can't be undone? Is it things for tomorrow that I'm thinking about today and worrying about today when actually they should be left in God's hands, knowing that he holds tomorrow and that he will give me strength for that? And just as a discipline, and maybe a daily one, you maybe not need to do it that often, just sit down, think about these things, confess them before God, and recognize that you can leave them in his hands. Cast your cares on him, because he cares for you. I think that's a good discipline as we go through our daily lives and as we do come across worries and regrets, just to leave them with the Lord and to recognize our Heavenly Father knows what's best for us and he is able to work things for our good as we love him, as we've been called according to his purpose. And then perhaps a more periodic thing. Just to take a step back and to say, in my life, am I putting first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? What are my priorities? What are the things that really motivate me in life? Are they the things that really matter from an eternal viewpoint? Or are they the day-to-day things and the concerns of this world and the ambitions that those around me might have that might not be appropriate for me as a Christian? And every few months, really good to do something like that. I'm not going to hold myself up as a wonderful example in this, but let me talk a little bit about where I've come to over the last few years. As you can probably see, I'm getting towards the stage where I'll be able before too long to be retired. And a few years ago, I sat down and thought, well, there's not much point in me expending a lot more energy at work trying to get that extra promotion or whatever. There is much more I could do that would be of more value to God's kingdom, that would be more helpful to me in terms of getting away from the worries and concerns of everyday life. And so I've taken at work a few steps back, both in terms of grade and in terms of my working hours. And one of the things I did on a Friday morning, I helped with the food bank at the church, not doing anything terribly spiritual. In one sense, I packed the bags and look after the store. But something completely different, something that I think has real value for me in being able to serve others, in being able to get a different perspective in life, and that hopefully is beneficial to others as well. And every few months now, I do sit down and think, well, what is the next step from God for me? How can I make sure I'm not getting into that mindset that says the things of the world are more important to me than the things of God? How can I focus my attention on the things that matter? I commend it to you, none of you will be in the same position exactly as me, but I'm sure for all of us there is value in doing that stock take every so often and perhaps refocusing our lives to make sure that we are really concentrating on the things that matter. But for all of us this evening, let's take this lesson away. God cares for us. He's given us life. He provides the daily things that we need. He values us, he treasures us, and he's not going to let us down. So when we come into situations where it is only natural that we are worried and concerned about them, let's make sure that we bring them before God, that we commit them to him, and that we then leave them in his hands. That we don't carry the burden alone as we might be tempted to, but that we share that burden with our Heavenly Father, and we know that he will see us through and that he will give us the strength for each day. Worry, in a real sense, is pointless. It doesn't do us any good. But when we come to that point, as we all do when we're worried about things, let's share them with God and let's leave them in his hands and let's trust him to help us through and to do what's best for us. Let's pray together. We're going to pray in the words of an old pop song which says this: "One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus. Tomorrow may never be mine. So, Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time." Our Father, we pray that that may be our attitude, that as we face the worries and concerns of this world, that you will give us the ability, the grace, to lay them on you, to come to you as our loving Heavenly Father, and to recognize that tremendous concern you have for every aspect of our lives. Help us not to get so caught up in the things of this world that they distract us from your kingdom and your righteousness. Help us to be those who are distinguished from those around us, because our priority is not the physical things of this world. Our priority is God's kingdom. It is your kingdom. It is your honor. It is your glory. We pray that you will give us the right attitudes and that you will help us not to be overcome by worry. We thank you for your presence with us. We pray for your continued presence now as we come to remember the Lord Jesus together. We again lovingly pray for Cameron, for your healing for him. Pray for Rachel and Andrew and Christine and others in the family, that you will give them a real peace at this time, knowing that Cameron is in your hands. We commit ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.